Mikey B, it's another beautiful week of gaming news, question mark?
Sure. The biggest news we're going to talk about is Xbox Indie Showcase, every game announced. The first one is probably Drinkbox Studios. They made Guacamelee. It's called Nobody Saves the World. This is an action RPG. This is coming in 2021. So if you like, you know, dungeon crawler RPG games, this will be the game for you. This has like a cool kind of like Cartoon Network art style. And yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. This one looks like a winner. Any thoughts on this one?
The art style to this looks awesome, man. When I opened this up again, like, it reminded me of Courage the Cowardly Dog.
That's a good Cartoon Network show, yes.
Yeah, and Billy and Mandy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but that's what this reminds me of.
The Grim Reaper show?
Yep. This looks cool, man. I'm intrigued. I love how weird this is. Like, just the fact that you can, like, transform into, like, what looks like a horse, a rat, or a mouse, a magician, a strong man, and get your power-ups, find who does what well, and save the world, I guess. So I'm going to try this one out for sure. This looks awesome.
Like the title says, nobody saves the world, so we'll guess we'll be nobody.
Boom. Watch at the end, it's just like, you can't beat the boss. It's like the strongest boss ever, and you just die, and you can never pass it.
I wonder if this has to do anything with the new movie that came out a couple, I think this week, called Nobody.
Probably not.
But I'm just saying this, you know. Nobody's really getting some shine in 2021 with a whole movie dedicated to nobody, and then with one with a main title. Next up is Soup Pots. This is a kind of a cooking mama game that looks trying to look real realistic, like photo quality pictures of green beans and steak and other cooking items. This is coming out in August 2021. You'll be able to cook over 100 different dishes. Are you ever into Cooking Mama or any of those like sim type games?
Cooking Mama was cool. I liked that. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. My bad.
Sure.
Real life podcast is going on. Real time. Can you hear me? Sir.
Hello? Yes, I can. Yes.
Sorry, it like went out for a little bit. So I played Cooking Mama when that came out. That was a lot of fun. And it was like the first game of like its time to kind of be interactive like that with the Wii, right? So that was cool. But this, I don't know, man. Not that like it's too realistic, but like I don't really cook anyway. So it's like, why do I want to pretend to cook in a game? So.
No, I hear you. I understand that. I never got into Sims too much like this, or there's that doctor simulator, like surgery simulator games.
Oh, didn't
look good. Or the like farm simulator games, or the trucking simulator, anything like that seems like
the goat simulator.
If I wanted to do that, I would, you know, attempt to do that in, you know, IRL. So I'm not going to do that online.
Yeah, for sure. Like if I want to make soup, I'll try to make a soup that I want to make. So it's
at least at the end, at least you get to eat it.
Yeah, for sure. This is fun. Like, because I guess, you know, a lot of people who didn't get to play Cooking Mama and stuff get their opportunity to play a game similar to it. So.
Yeah, definitely hits a niche. Next up, this is called Moon Glow Bay. A fishing RPG set in the 1980s and the Eastern Canadian coastline. Graphically, this game looks like Minecraft. It looks like it has that like blocky Minecraft vibe to it. Have you ever played a fishing game before, Josh? Ever wanted to play a fishing game? And would you ever play this game?
Yeah, this does nothing for me too. So like we can move on. You know, it's Minecraft fishing, so.
Yes, sir.
Nah.
Next up is a game that we talked off mic that you're looking forward to. It's called Death's Door. This is a fantasy action adventure game set in a world where crows are in charge of reaping the souls of the dead. And they have a headquarters called the Howl. They have the headquarters called the Hall of Doors, and one of the crows, that Jew, gets sent to a twisted place where nothing has died for several centuries. What interests you about this game, Jeff?
I love the art style to this too. It's like it's kind of dark, and like your only like thing of light is your sword. Mm-hmm. So like, it's very interesting concept wise. Like, okay, so you obviously have to go kill something that's like preventing people from dying, which is weird. But I just like the way it looks, and like I said, like previously, what is it? Nobody Saved the World. It's just weird enough for me to like. I'm like, okay, you're a bird with a sword and what looks like a companion based on this little screenshot and thumbnail. But it's just, and I like the style of the game too, because this is also similar to Nobody Saved the World, where it's like an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of make your way through worlds to kind of figure things out. So I like it.
Oh, yeah, I like the over-the-top angle. It kind of reminds me of
Zelda.
Zelda, yes, and then a game called Hyper Light Drifter. Big year for birds, because we also have Skatebird coming out later this year. So birds are really being properly represented in the video game space.
Got to show love to the birds, you know.
No doubt about that. Next up is a game called 12 Minutes. I think this is kind of like a deja vu game where like you replay the same 12 minutes over and over again to stop, to prevent something. And yeah, based on me explaining that, Josh says time to pass on to the next thing.
We're going
to
keep it moving. This makes sense for an indie game, obviously, because it's just like you get to, you know, I guess, I don't know if you're like solving like a murder case or something, but like.
It could be.
I'm not really into like the Groundhog's Day sort of thing, so.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
A few more to go. The probably one of the biggest games that came out of this pandemic that became super popular is Among Us. So Among Us is getting a new spaceship map, and I guess that means like a new like world that they're exploring the Among Us universe, I'm gonna say. I'm not very familiar with this game, so I cannot say more than that. Any thoughts on this one? Have you ever tried Among Us?
I've played it. It's fun, but for me personally, this fell off quick.
Got it.
So like, a new map really does nothing for me, and like, it's like the same thing, unfortunately, as Fall Guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was fun for like a month, and then once it fell off hard. Personally speaking, like, there's probably still people that do play it, but I'm out of it, man. So. Next
up, man, the fate of the world in video games, man, that happens quite a bit. It looks like all these games we play, we're always trying to save the world. So next up is a game called Asteria Ascending, featuring a motley crew of 8 heroes charged, guess what, Joss, with the fate of the world in their hand. This is a turn-based JRPG. Each character has their own story. It will feature 5 cities, 25 dungeons, 30 hours of gameplay that can be up to 50 hours of gameplay if you want to be a true try hard and get that 100% completion. This is coming out in 2021. So if this is, yeah, a game for the JRPG fan out there.
This reminds me of like a Nintendo DX game.
Mm, good call.
Because like it looks kind of realistic with like the character movements and stuff, but like the backgrounds are all just like pictures. And like, it just looks like, not that it's not complete, but you know where the focus was for like the budget. The budget was for the characters, and like the backgrounds are just paintings. I didn't see gameplay in here, but this isn't bad. This kind of reminds me of like Strike Force with like a moving story. So, mm-hmm. But this does like nothing for me. So
fair enough. A little bonus topic I just found out from our good friends over at Polygon. Can you guess how many Mario-related games are on the Switch? The number of Mario-related games are on the Switch, Josh. Any guess?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm at a loss, dude.
If I said 26, would you believe it?
I would believe 20.
Well, Joss, I even was wrong. There's 28 Mario-related games on a Nintendo Switch.
28?
Mario-related Nintendo games. That's from, well, I'm not gonna read all 28, but the first game is Mario and Sonic at the Olympics 2020. Oh. So that is a Mario related game. If you think of all the Super Mario World games, that is also on the list. Dr. Mario is on there, the Mario Party, Mario Tetris, not Mario, Paper Mario, Mario, Mario 35.
Yoshi's Story has Mario in it. Not Yoshi's Story, but like, what's the one where
Super Mario World 2? Yeah, Yoshi's Story. That's that. There's another one. They even give Mario Kart Live Home Circuit is a Mario game. So there's over 28 Mario games on the Switch.
Which, okay, you bring up something really, we'll just briefly talk about this, which is kind of good because there's not a lot of news.
Yes.
Mario Kart Live, that's not picking up any traction, is it? I haven't heard anything about that.
No, that was a one and done kind of like holiday thing that did not do very well. It's very similar to the cardboard boxes they came out with like the first part of for the Switch.
Oh my God! Do you
like the card? You can make cardboard boxes and like.
Let's make cardboard cool.
Yeah, and like one was, and like it could turn into like different like objects you could play around with. Like the best one probably was the piano, because at this least it makes sense.
There's a piano. You could be also like a robot, like a mech suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can go fishing. True. Oh my God, Nintendo, what you doing? But this Mario Kart Live, it kind of reminds me of. I don't know if you remember, but you weren't really into Pokemon, but like you could bring your like Pokemon, you can scan your Pokemon cards.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a thing like that where you can play a card game like that. Or I wish it was like you use the Game Boy cartridge to import your characters into the game. But that's just kind of like a nostalgic thing. That's kind of what it reminded me of, where it's just like a one and done thing. And like Mario Kart, the game is great, but like I don't know, this was a good idea. It's a good shot, but
it's interesting, yeah. But you gotta give Nintendo credit for doing something unique.
They're just giving it a shot.
Very true. All right. Last one, final topic that I just made up out of thin air, but not really. Last week we talked about the Switch Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we got a little more detail about this potential Switch Pro. I guess the biggest thing out of this was the potential cost of the Switch Pro, which was $399. How does that jive with you there, Josh, paying $400 for a Switch Pro?
What am I getting out of it, though?
You're getting an OLED 7-inch screen. You're getting a faster, you're getting a new NVIDIA chipset. You're getting something called DLSS, which is dynamic loading super sampling or super scaling, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. The tech people know what I'm talking about. And then yeah. You'll be able to output to, because of that, you'll be able to output to 4K on your 4K television. And that's going to cost you $399, which is $100 more than the current Switch. You find that to be a good value?
Not really.
Okay.
I like the specs, I guess. The specs mm-hmm. sound good, but $400 is like... Yeah, because like back to like what we talked about last time, man. Like I don't take it to go. But like, if you're just gonna be able to like export a clear version onto my TV, like I don't really need that right now, you know.
Mm.
Just because knowing my gaming experience right now and the Switch, like,
true.
I mean, I could wait, but I don't. This. I get why they have to price it like that, but still, you're like $100 off of a PlayStation. You know what I mean? Like,
and for $400, you get the digital PlayStation or the digital Xbox Series X.
Exactly. So
which is like
powerhouse.
Powerhouse, like 10 times, 20 times more powerful.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't.
Yeah.
There's a noticeable gap between systems and like.
True.
Nintendo just is going to keep walking in this, you know, marathon, you know, so I don't know. What about you? Does this do anything for you?
I don't know, man. At $399, we're getting into for an extra $100, I'm getting a system that's like truly brand new.
Yeah.
With either PlayStation 5 or Xbox. So I think that $399 price point kind of puts it into a more like luxury, kind of like high-end console, and the Nintendo Switch isn't really, like Nintendo Switch isn't like a Lamborghini. It's more like a nice Ford Focus.
it's the 2021 Camry, dude.
Yeah, like it gets you there. You know, it's a nice car. It's like it's reliable. You know, you've been driving it for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So unless it would have to come with the $400 price tag and saying, hey, Zelda 2 is an exclusive that you only could play on this. Mario Odyssey 2 is an exclusive you only could play on this. They would have to back it up with like 3 or 4 exclusive, you know, bangers of Nintendo games to be like, okay, I only could play this on that system. If not, then it kind of be like, why would I spend an extra $100 where I could like, we could play it on, you could play it with like the new one is 4K and I'm playing on 1080p. It's like, it's still the same game.
Exactly.
And like graphically wise, I'm not like, I don't own a 4K TV, so it's like, it doesn't really do much for me. And yeah, even if the load times were faster, it's like, I'm not like super mad about load times most times. So it's not like, it's not worth an extra $400 just for like slightly better graphics and a little faster load time if these games are not exclusive to that console.
Yeah, there's like nothing to back it up, like you said. And like the games don't look even that bad.
No.
You know what I mean? And plus also too with that, man, like now that like they're going to get like a better processor and like that, I'm going to butcher the shit out of this, like the L, what'd you say, the DS?
DS. No, DSL. The L, the L, SSR, they're, I don't,
yeah, I'm going to butcher the shit out of it, but like.
That's all right. People know what we're talking about, I hope.
That comes with a price tag. You know what I mean? Like now the games are going to go up and like we know that like. Then what Nintendo does well, man, is like they never drop the price of their like go-tos, their number one studio titles. Like they'll never go below like $20, or like never go $20 off. I'm sorry.
True. Yeah, Zelda's still $60.
Dude,
Mario, and it came out almost four years ago.
When did Rabbids come out? Mario Rabbids. That was like one of their first games. And
same time period.
It just got down to like $30, $20. So like Nintendo's not gonna let that go. So now we're talking like $80 games maybe, or $70 games, you know, where that's the same price as like an Xbox game and they're noticeably different. So
plus the lifespan of PlayStation and Xbox, you're like, this is us the beginning. Like we're looking at like 5 years out still for like, or maybe 6 years out for PlayStation and Xbox for new games, new exclusive. Like it's unclear if this Switch Pro is like a stopgap, like, okay, 2, 3, 4 years, or this is like for the next 5 years, we're going to get like support from the Switch Pro.
Yeah, but like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Xbox did that and PlayStation did the Pro thing where it's like, here's like slightly better upgraded version, and then kind of made it, gave it like 2 to 3 year more life cycle for the product.
But see, like, what can Nintendo do to be in the running? You know what I mean? Like, then
make it $299. Yeah. Price point is key. Make it $299, and then that gap between the gap between that, like, we'll agree on, like, the graphics become a little bit more even. You're like, well, yeah, I do know PlayStation and Xbox is a powerhouse, but I am saving $200.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't think Nintendo has a game that revolves you to need a lot of power, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Nintendo, like maybe Breath of the Wild 2 might need more work, but like it's not like, you know, the medium or like any of the games that need, you know, all of this processing power. And I don't know, man. What's also crazy that we talk about this is that Nintendo will, that console will probably still be number one, the number one selling console, which is insane.
2 years running.
Yeah. So it's like you release this new Pro for an extra $100. You and I think it's kind of insane. It'll sell out like hotcakes, which is crazy.
Yeah, we won't be able to get that. That's going to be the hottest Christmas, and it'll be a tough get.
What would make it better, man, is if like they really focus on playing with other Switch members. Because I know like the first one, they had that thing where you can like put your Switch together, or like you would put one piece to another piece and another piece, and you kind of play like four player. Yeah. They would have to do that better. Mm. Like they would need to be able to kind of sync Switches together to play one big game. You know what I mean? So what? Okay, so this is just, obviously I'm not a source. Not yet, maybe. But what I think could be huge, man, is if they really revolve on like this power of this new Switch and to work with other like local Switches or like your friend Switches and kind of do a more cohesive fucking Mario Party. Like you need something that brings everybody together with this new Switch to kind of give it a whole new dynamic to make it worth the extra $100 besides like the processing power. You know what I mean? That's what I think, man. Like there's gotta be something there, but yeah. And extra $100 just for like a OLED that I'll probably never see is not good.
So that is true. And that was somehow, as always, we made a very nice quality news segment out of just one real news story and then me just finding a couple of things just to spark conversation. But that there is the news for the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Council Boys are out. See ya. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Gaming Council Podcast. Now, if you're not with us on the social game, you really are missing out. On Instagram, follow us at the Gaming Council Podcast. Facebook is the Gaming Council Podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're the Council Boys on Twitter, so hit us up, tweet us. Everything podcast-related episode-wise, go to gamingcouncilpod.com.
The Council Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling life.
Council Boys are out.